We did get Senator John Braun, who is the Senate Republican leader, to agree to come on the show today to not only talk to us, of course, about what happened with the legislative session, the crash and burn of the Blake fix, but also about some of the things that J.T. Wilcox pointed out there in his remarks. Senator Braun, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brandy.
What are you going to do post-session? What are you going to do for your wife post-session, I guess, is the biggest question.
Well, she's going to get a lot more of my attention than she's had over the last couple of months, that's for sure. Whether she'll like it or not, I don't know, but that's how it's going to work.
Good. She deserves it. You've got a good one there. So you make sure that you're paying enough attention to her, but not too much. So we're going to get to what happened at the end of the session with the Blake fix in a moment, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about House Minority Leader J.T. Wilcox announcing on the final day of the session that he is going to step down from that leadership role. Your reactions to that, sir?
Well, J.T. has been a great partner in the legislature and a very good friend. We've worked together for the better part of a decade. I have a great deal of respect for him. I am, on the one hand, pleased that he did it on his terms, and he did it at the right time, and he left a very much stronger caucus behind him. I will miss him, and while I look forward to working with whoever they select as his predecessor, I think he's been a extraordinary leader for Republicans in our state, and pushed hard on issues that are important to Republicans, but also helped Republicans understand how to be successful in the state of Washington.
Yeah, we also, and you know this, can't deny the fact that there is a segment of the party that has been a little cruel to him. I'm just going to use that word. And I saw it yesterday when he announced that he wasn't going to seek his leadership role. There's a segment further to the right in the party that, calls him a rhino and whatever sort of labels you want. How do you sort of, as a party, get past that infighting in order to be more productive?
Well, I wish I had the exact answer to that. I'm not sure there is, but I know one thing for sure. If we're going to work our way through this, we have to be honest about the situation we're in. We have to be clear-eyed that if we're going to win in the state of Washington in elections and bring more balance and I think a better future to the state of Washington, we can't fight with ourselves. We have to recognize what's most important to the people of the state of Washington and not get distracted by some of the things that have pulled us apart over the last few years. It's just the way it is. And some people don't like that message. And JT has delivered it repeatedly without flinching. And I admire that. And I hope that as long as we continue to say, look, if we want to be relevant, we want to fight for our communities in the state of Washington and in our state and in our country, fighting means winning elections. To win elections in the state of Washington, you have to win. You have to run on the things people care about most and be thoughtful about the things people care about most. I think JT has done that, and I hope as a party we continue to do that.
Yeah, and it's weird that it's controversial because you're right. It is just so common sense. Like, do you want to be in a position to win and to actually make changes on some of these things or not? And that's what it boils down to. One more thing on JT before we move on to Blake. He said that he thinks it's time for a new generation of leaders in the Republican Party. He says, I believe it's also time for a generational change in our politics in a broader sense. Experience is valuable in government, but it does have a shelf life. I hope that all across our state and the country, we can recognize the value of a newer generation of leaders who will have less investment in the antagonisms that have consumed the last years. Do you agree?
I do. I think you only get so much time in a job like this. You should do your best. You should work hard. But you should also, I think, as JT has done, recognize when it's time for new leaders and give them a chance. There are great people that I'm sure will follow after him and me and others. We need that change to be healthy and be vibrant and effective, both in Washington and nationwide.
All right. Talking about Blake, we'll get to the substance of it. But after it failed in the House, Democrats couldn't get together as a caucus to push it through. Republicans obviously weren't going to help because it was a bad bill and there is a backstop, which is local control. Governor Inslee came out, Republican leadership came out and had the audacity to blame Republicans for this mess, which I've said is just deeply dishonest. Is it surprising to you, given the conversations and the work you've done behind the scenes, that that would be a message that they would put forth as opposed to personal accountability?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by the governor, frankly. The governor has been absent from this discussion for the last 105 days. He's never in any meaningful way weighed in. He and his staff had no idea of what negotiations occurred, either when we first passed, I think, a good blank bill out of the Senate some weeks ago, or the negotiations over the last 4 or 5 days as we tried to get a bipartisan blank bill across the line. He wasn't involved, and so the fact that he'd weigh in after the fact, well, we all know how Governor Inslee operates. He's not interested in, this wasn't a climate change bill. He wasn't interested. He's just kind of protecting himself now. I was a little surprised that some of the Democratic leaders, in particular, the Democratic leaders in the Senate that came out blaming this on Republicans. Two things I'd point out. One, we are not in the majority. We don't get to decide what comes to the fore. Were we in that position, this bill would have gotten passed. I can say that absolutely. And I can also say absolutely, because we all know what happened, Republicans in the Senate stepped up and provided the votes to pass a good Blake bill several weeks ago. That bill passed down the middle with nearly, I think, exactly even Senate Republican and Democrat votes. Had that bill, and I would just add, that's a bill that was supported by the cities, by the prosecutors, by law enforcement, that they thought they could actually implement. Had that bill been brought for a vote in the House, it would have passed the same way with an overwhelming majority. There's no question in my mind. Instead, they brought a bill that didn't have the support of the cities, didn't have the support of the prosecutors, didn't have the support of law enforcement. And they're surprised it didn't pass? They've been at this for a while. They know how to count votes. They were just unwilling to govern when it mattered most. That's what happened.
So what do you think should happen from here? Because, we just spoke with Marysville Mayor John Nearing. They have a law that's ready to go into effect July 1 if they need that backstop. I mean, nobody wants de facto drug legalization, but at least there's the opportunity for cities and counties who have the political will to do something about it. But, the governor, he didn't use the word special session, but he said a bill needs to come together before July 1st. So take us through what you think is going to happen between now and July 1st to that end.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how serious the governor is. Again, he just weighed in at the last moment, and I don't know if he'll follow through or not. I think there's three possible outcomes. I think the one that we're set up for right now, which is there is no state fall, therefore cities and counties can put an ordinance in themselves that works for their communities that can go up to a gross misdemeanor. I think that happens in many parts of the state, and I think that's not that's given what we have in front of us, that's not a bad option. I would expect them to do that. I think they will do it in many parts of the state, and I think we'll be okay. I don't think it's the best outcome. I think the best outcome is to have a statewide solution that's lined up and consistent, but it has to be workable. It has to be a real solution that provides a real path, and nobody's questioning that it should lead to treatment, that we want to get folks the treatment they need, get them back on. Nobody questions that. That's not a partisan issue. It's that we have to give a workable solution with the real tools to locals. That could happen. I mean, we could have some I think I could see a path where we have some negotiations outside session. We come back for a brief short session and pass a statewide solution. If it's a good solution, I would welcome that. Much like the one that we passed down in the Senate some weeks ago, I think that will work. And I think the cities and counties and everybody would like that. I think the worst solution, this is the one thing I worry about, is the Democrats decide, okay, we're going to go do it ourselves. We're going to offer something that looks a lot like our current law that has been an absolute failure, that's cost many, many lives to drug overdose over the last 2 years. That's the worst solution. I would hate to see a situation where they came back and they tried to do it just with Democrat votes that was just an unworkable solution like we have right now.
Yeah,
because here's the thing that you have to understand. If they do that, that preempts the cities and counties from doing something themselves.
Right. And I agree. That is the most I'm worried that that's probably what's going to happen. And that's a bummer, because you guys showed in the Senate that it is possible on a bipartisan basis to come up with something workable that works for cities, counties, law enforcement, prosecutors. So if they go the lonely route and do it themselves, which I wouldn't put past them, I am a little terrified of that, If you're a betting man, I mean, I think what frustrates me and what should frustrate citizens is this inarguably should have been one of the top priorities heading into the session. And 4 months have gone by and they leave this till the 11th hour and then it fails. And now they're talking about a special session, even if it's a short one. I think there's this feeling that you really could not get that done in 4 months. So what would lead you to get it done in a special session? So I guess just what would you say to citizens who are very frustrated with that process?
Well, I don't think there's a special session unless there's an agreement. So I don't think we'd come back to town and sit around and try and negotiate. We'd have to negotiate and then come back. And I just don't know. We're open. We have been open the whole time. You know, even the bill that we passed, it's not the bill we would have written. We don't love everything about it, but we worked hard and we brought Republican votes to solve the problem. We thought it was important that we govern. And I think the Senate Democrats, to a certain extent, did. As I said, I was a little disappointed in their comments after the fact. I don't think the House Democrats did that at all. House Republicans were absolutely willing. And I can tell you, absolutely, right up until the very last, hour, House Republicans, Senate Republicans were offering solutions that would bring along the cities, bring along the prosecutors, bring along the law enforcement, and give a real solution. And we would bring along Republican votes that would get across the line. I think that's still possible. The longer it goes and the more kind of bomb throwing we have out there, the harder it gets. Because, look, we're willing to help. We're willing to govern. We're willing to get the laws that the people of the state of Washington need and deserve. But we don't need to be vilified for it, especially not from the minority. That's not helpful or productive.
Yeah. On the public safety front, to me, we're at record crime rates, homicide rates, stolen vehicles are through the roof. It's just undeniable that we're in the midst of a serious crime crisis. Do you think coming out of this legislative session, the people of Washington are going to be safer than when we went in?
Sadly, no, I don't think so. We passed a pursuit bill that is, as I've said, a half step in the right direction. Does no harm, and Republicans supported it for that reason. We weren't going to kill a bill that gets us a little bit better. But when you talk about the lawlessness, you know, it's reckless driving, it's driveaways, it's auto theft. And I get that the majority wanted to protect harm to people first, and we don't disagree with that. But the lawlessness doesn't come from that. We don't have a lot of high-speed chases as a result of murder or domestic violence. We do have them as a result of reckless driving, as a result of auto theft, and people are getting hurt as a result. So until we face those problems, I don't think the people who are committing these crimes will be in any way meaningfully deterred, and that, which means our current situation continues. That's what I'm frustrated with. These were our top two priorities. We've talked about Blake decision and the pursuit issue. The very most important things we had to do in this session. One, we got kind of partway done, and one failed miserably because they pushed it right up to day 105 and didn't work with the Republicans in the House to get it done. And the House Republicans were ready to get this done. They were absolutely the same position the Senate Republicans in. They wanted to support a reasonable bill. All they needed was a chance to vote on it.
Yeah, and I should note for people who are watching or listening that we are going to have two of your Democratic colleagues on later in the week, Senator John Lovick and Senator Mark Mullett, and we'll talk to them about some of these same issues and offer them an opportunity to share their perspective on it. Senator Braun, before I let you go, as you just said, public safety was a top priority. It was for me as well. And we spent a lot of time and attention on the two issues we just discussed. Is there anything that you're really happy about this session that maybe went under the radar amid all these controversies?
Well, while not everything, I don't like everything in it, I think one of the big successes, a little not as highlighted, is our budget. The operating budget, well, I'd say all the budgets, really, but the operating budget in particular, by no means a bipartisan budget. There's things in there that we do not like. But structurally, it took the Senate Democrats in particular, Senator Christine Rolfes, welcomed input from the Republicans. I think that was the right thing for the state. And look at the growth. The growth rate is less than half what it's been in the last few bienniums, much closer to the growth rate of inflation and personal income growth. We have no new taxes, and that was a fight to the end, but no new general taxes for the people of the state of Washington, and even a few tax reductions in specific areas, and then a reserve that's meaningful. These are big structural wins, and it's not top of the headline like some of the issues. But those are important. And I could tell you, with more time, we could dive deeper into the budget. And there are things in there that are absolutely Republican priorities that made it through the end. And I think that's a win, maybe not a highly visible win, but a big win for the people of the state of Washington long term.
Do you want to highlight one of them, one of the wins that you think Republicans had in that budget?
Well, I would, if I had to highlight one in particular, I would go back to those the things I mentioned before. We really need more time to dig deep into it, but no new taxes, I think, is the biggest. I mean, and recognize in the last 2 weeks, there was a serious push for a gigantic input increase in the property taxes, both state and local, that would have been absolutely wrong for the state of Washington, and a real estate excise tax that would have been very harmful to renters in particular. It would have affected the sale and resale of multifamily housing and would have driven up rent costs. These are the wrong things for the state of Washington when we have such a housing challenge to begin with.
Yeah, no taxes, but not for lack of trying. I'm glad it didn't end up in there.
That's right. It's hard to believe at the very last minute where they roll out, you know, well, in fairness, the REIT was kind of hanging out the whole time, but it wasn't in either of the proposed budgets. And then at the end, this big push, oh, we got to get our tax fix done, you know, done. And it was, you know, it was just bad for the state of Washington. We worked hard to stop it. I'm very pleased we did. If I got a moment, one other thing I will highlight in the budget that I think deserves attention is the funding for special education. Mm-hmm. We have fought for that. I have personally fought for that for the better part of 5 years to address. And this doesn't fix it entirely, but this is a big move towards properly funding special education for our students around the state. It's something that we needed to do. It's the right thing to do. And we finally got there in a big way. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Great. Thanks for highlighting it. Thank you for the conversation, Senate Republican Leader John Braun. We appreciate it.